Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 88 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
And C-Kohler.
Hey, guys.
I actually remembered it was Tuesday today because I thought it was Wednesday half the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought yesterday was Tuesday. And so, you know, like 8:30 rolls around, I'm like, where's the podcast? Am I not doing it this week?
No, you've been dropped.
No.
Tonight, we have some business to deal with regarding Lupin the Third.
Right.
But before we get to any of that and the block, we have to talk about Dragon Ball Super. Not the actual episode that aired. The fact that Dragon Ball Super is over?
Oh, we're still in the news segment. Okay.
Technically. Yeah.
Yep.
I was like following that like from a distance, and the people were like, oh no, it sounds like it might end. And then I checked back like the next day, and the thread was like, yeah, it's over.
Well, I mean, it's over, but it's going to be back. I mean, come on. Like it's ending, and they're doing a movie, and that's probably going to wind up leading into the next series somehow.
Which immediately will take 3 years for Toei to bring over.
Oh, naturally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's like 2-3 years between, you know, where we are now and the ending anyway.
So did like the TV series, did it end at the end of like an arc, or was it just abruptly ended?
No, it's ending in March or April when the arc it's currently on ends. I mean, it's a nice place to end it, but it's still so obviously not over that I literally don't believe it's not coming back.
They have to think about, A, how to erase the events of the previous arc in true Dragon Ball fashion.
Well, I mean,
and B, where to go from here.
Well, I mean, there's a big reset button at the end of the arc, so there's no real issue there.
Really?
How do you know that, though?
Yeah.
I thought Dragon Ball Super was all original, so if you're...
It is.
Then you can't know what's going to happen, right?
Well, I mean, they pretty much announced, you know, at the beginning of the arc, they're like, yes, at the end of the arc, someone will get a giant reset button.
Who said that?
I mean, it's in the actual story. Yeah, it's spoilers. I can't explain it to you without...
Oh, characters in the show said that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
okay,
it basically amounts to the arc will end with a giant reset button being pressed.
Okay. So do we know why Super is not being continued?
I think two reasons. I think one, they kind of need some time off to figure out where they're going to go. And I think number two is because the movie's coming out. I think they need to give Toriyama like all his attention on that.
Well, also the animators that are working on Super right now are shifting over to the movie. So basically all the teams that are working on Super are coming off of Super and going on to the movie.
Hmm.
So it's going to be one of those situations where they go on to the movie and then they're probably going to come right back off. And then, you know, when's the movie coming out? In the summer or the fall? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just like a 1 year hiatus.
Will they have to do another movie recap arc?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, the last time they did a movie recap arc was simply because they had like no lead time into the series. They just sort of decided one day, oh, next week we're going to show Dragon Ball Super. And they're like, wait, what?
Well, yes. I mean, there could be reasons, though, if this movie's plot line dramatically changes the course of the narrative, they'll have to do it.
I think we can say what the plot line for the movie is because it's not huge spoilers. Goku and...
Well, don't say it. I don't want to know.
I mean, it's like set in the past.
Okay, then so I say it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if it does play into what's, you know, going to happen with the series going forward, it will be as a result of, like, foreshadowing something.
Okay. I mean, I'm assuming that we're going to continue to get the dub up until...
Oh, yeah, finished. No.
If anything, that they absolutely will not double up on Super episodes.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, they pretty much announced that Toei has an English, you know, thing. And they're like, you know, Super might be done for now, but you can. There's still the movie coming, and you can still watch the English dub on Toonami. You know.
Okay.
So I'm like 99% sure it's coming back.
Yeah.
If not
as Dragon Ball Super, then as Dragon Ball something at Dragon Ball GT.
Dragon Ball Ultimate.
They're actually they're just going to do Dragon Ball Xenoverse, aren't they?
Probably. I mean, they're going to do something, and I think we're going to have a clearer view of what it is after the current arc ends.
What if they do like Dragon Ball Fighters the anime?
Hmm.
Because they do have that new character that's the boss of the game that has a storyline.
Also, that new character is great.
Yes, I've seen videos. It is
I've
amazing.
Just seen pictures, and fuck you, she's great.
Yeah, she's awesome. I would love to see an anime version of that. Although I have a feeling the anime wouldn't be as good as the game.
Nope.
No way.
Naturally, people are very mad because she is a woman and she can fight. And that is weird. We don't like that.
I think it's cool. She's basically female Boo in a way.
Yep.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Anyway, now that we're done talking about Dragon Ball Super, let's talk about Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super. Oh shit, I didn't have it up. Dragon Ball Super episode 47, an SOS from the future. A dark new enemy appears. So, to start off this happy, happy, joy, joy night of Toonami, Bulma's dead. Cool Future Mai is dead. Goku's evil. Fuck everything.
Yeah, we get two
screwed
character deaths in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah. It pretty much set the tone for tonight. And for this arc, pretty much. Because, I mean, this is actually a really good arc. It's just hilarious that they have to go all the way to the future to get any sort of consequences.
Basically, every time they want some serious shit to happen, fuck you, Future Trunks' world. It gets worse.
I was thinking about this, and I don't want to delve too much into it because I think it's confusing as hell. But, like, when Future Trunks first came back in time to warn everybody about Cell...
Mm-hmm.
If I'm remembering correctly, he then left and went back to his shitty future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is that same Trunks living in the city future, the shitty future. Right. He didn't change the future, right?
Well, no, he made it better after he got back. Like, it's split timeline.
No. This is my point. They made a point to say that everything that they do will not change his future. So he went back to his shitty, destroyed, cell-destroyed future.
Well, to his android.
No, it's not about
future,
it was not Cell. It was about the androids. He went back and destroyed the androids.
The androids, right. I'm sorry. That's right.
Which prevented it from becoming worse.
Right.
I just remember, and people, please, if anyone listening to this, tell me I'm wrong, but I swear they made a point in the episodes of Kai to point out that when he returns to the future, it's not back to the future where suddenly the world has morphed into be a better place. He just goes back to the same timeline he was before, and it's just shit.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, and this is the same one, then it's weird because, like,
the question
he just keeps coming back from his shitty future.
the question you should be asking is, wait, didn't Goku die in his future?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because everyone's dead in his future except him. He's like the last
Goku.
One.
Yeah. Oh, so, by the way, a minor thing, but... They basically for the whole episode drug out the fact that there's this character named Black running around and they hide his appearance and it's like, come on.
Unfortunately, the one person who didn't know anything about this, doesn't know anything about this show other than when he sees on Toonami was like, what?
Yeah.
Who's that person? Some guy that lives under a rock?
That one dude who was always like, what? In the threads.
Oh, there was somebody. Okay, wow.
There was that one dude. I forget his name, but he would always be. He would only find out about new shows the day they aired.
I mean, I wish I could do that.
I know. I mean, I guess it would have been a cool reveal, but I just like I remember seeing pictures of Goku Black like a year and a half ago.
What if every single like new show reveal was just the now next later bump from like the first April Fool's Night?
Oh, God.
Sword Art Online. Fuck.
No.
God damn it! This is the worst surprise ever.
No, I mean this is actually a pretty good arc. I mean, it's definitely got its issues, but like they actually had to, go to the future to get some consequences, and there will be some for once.
I'm kind of bummed that the future Mai's dead already. I kind of wanted to see more of her.
Well, unfortunately, her skill was, I have a shotgun, so...
Well, it's a laser shotgun, so, you know.
Oh, sorry.
Lasers. Yeah.
Anyway. Bulma got straight up, just like...
Yeah, she got disintegrated.
That's brutal.
I like future Bulma. She was really cool. Like, more level-headed.
I mean, she was cool.
Also, Goku and Piccolo try to compete in harvesting lettuce.
Yep.
And then Krillin goes to Beerus' world and he's like, lettuce?
And Beerus likes it.
And then it's like that old SNL skit where it's like, lettuce.
I don't think there's any like earth food that Beerus won't eat and like...
Well, I mean, apparently everyone else has shitty food.
You're right. The rest of the universe sucks comparatively.
Yeah. I mean, like, nobody else knows how to make food, apparently.
Here's Iron Chef's new judge, Beerus.
I love it.
No, he wouldn't. He would eat one bite and die.
Oh, God.
That's the way to kill Beerus. Feed him some actual good food.
Oh, man.
Anyway, want to keep this happy, happy, joy, joy time rolling with Dragon Ball Z Kai?
Let's do it.
Dragon Ball Z Kai, the final chapter is episode 146. Gotenks is Ace in the Hole, Transformation, Super Saiyan 3, as opposed to the alternate episode title. Boo screams and then kills everyone.
Well, you guys were right. The way they broke out of the time chamber was pretty stupid.
I knew it was going to be stupid. I didn't know it was going to be that fucking dumb.
Oh, it's so dumb.
Fuck me. Fuck this.
You can yell your way through time and space, apparently.
If you're strong enough. Well, I mean, keep in mind, this was supposed to be like the top tier, you know, powers. It wasn't supposed to be anything above this.
You can literally just tell. There is no way that this did not get written in 10 seconds.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He was like, you know what would be cool if they got stranded in there? And then, like, his editor walked up and he's like, well, how are they going to get out? And he went, I don't know, I'll figure that out tomorrow.
He's like, they don't have to. That's the end of the fight. And the editor's like, no, you can't just end it that way.
You can't sacrifice the prodigal sons who are going to take over the franchise one day.
And please no, because they suck.
Yeah.
They suck when combined into one being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not that bad separate, but Gotenks is fucking obnoxious.
The only time he isn't is when he's legitimately mad, and that's like how this episode ended. Because he learned that Boo had killed everyone, including his friends and parents and everything, so.
Yeah, holy shit. Krillin's like, run, I'll save you, and then Krillin was chocolate. And then it didn't matter, because they got turned into chocolate anyway.
Yeah, infanticide, no big deal.
Oh my god!
Not a huge issue, you know.
It is only made slightly better by the fact that they aren't directly killed, they're turned into chocolate first.
I still swear that everyone knows what's happening as they're eaten.
They probably
do. I'm pretty sure it's stated.
Well, then Pan is like screwed for life.
Marin,
excuse me. Yeah.
Also, isn't Dende dead now?
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay, so about those Dragon Balls.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, about that.
Although we need to have backups.
Yeah, there's the Namekian ones, but only Goku can get there.
Yeah.
And he's dead.
What can't Goku do?
Well, you know, go to the new Namek, because, you know, he's dead.
That's never stopped him from doing anything.
I mean, you know, technically he could...
make him not dead, then.
Yeah, I mean, technically he could teach, you know, Gohan how to do instant transmission or something, but, you know, apparently that's too much trouble. Like, why would you teach your son one of the most useful things you've ever learned? Like, that's, you know, he doesn't need to know that.
It's pretty OP power.
Yeah. I mean, it lets you hang with dudes that are stronger than you.
Yay! Anyway, so thanks, Gotenks. Maybe you probably could, In fact, you probably could have saved their lives if you hadn't done your stupid, like, oh no, I'm out of power.
Yeah, I mean, Bigelow
wouldn't have exploded the door, and then Boo wouldn't have screamed his way out.
Yeah.
And you could have maybe gone Super Saiyan 3 and killed him.
I think it's iffy whether he would have still won, but...
I mean, he probably
the problem is, he could go Super Saiyan 3, but his name isn't Goku. So he can't technically win.
Nope. Also, back in the Kai planet, Gohan is still getting a power-up for when he can't win.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, you weren't kidding. It's like...
Yeah.
They really stretch this out.
There are 20 episodes of this
left. No kidding.
We still haven't seen the kid Boo yet, which we know is a thing, and...
Yep.
I don't know how that happens, but... I'm kind of hoping it happens, and then I'll be like, oh, okay, finally, this must be
the final form. Oh, you thought screaming his way out of the time chamber was fucking bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
let me regale you with the tales of how Boo turns into Kid Boo.
Here's the thing. I think the thing that I don't like about Boo more than anything is just this idea that, like, there are no rules when it comes to his powers. Like, he can just practically do anything. And that doesn't make for an effective villain, because it's like someone trying to explain magic, you know, and you're like, well, what are the rules of the magic? And somebody going, there's no rules. It's just magic.
It's magic. You know? I don't got to explain shit.
Right.
I mean, that's sort of the weakness of this arc, is that, you know, Boo is a legitimately dangerous villain, but at the same time, he's just pure bullshit.
Yeah. Like,
and it's not helped by the fact
everyone right now. Except for the last two people.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
On Earth.
Yeah. I mean, it's... He can technically be beaten by, you know, people if they're strong enough, like Gotenks, who probably do the job. But, you know, he's just too stupid. Like, if he had gone Super Saiyan 3 from the start and then used his ghosts and just nuked the hell out of him, you know, no issue.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's just like... I don't have any basis for what Boo can't do. So as far as I'm concerned, he can defeat everyone. And the only thing that I have to go on is that I know that Goku usually wins, and so there must be a weakness.
Just imagine how this arc is going to resolve itself into only Goku can win.
Yeah, and then also, like, we know that eventually Boo becomes a good guy.
And also imagine how it's going to get there from the starting point of, not only is Goku dead and presumably can't come back because he already did that, every other character but him is getting a power-up.
Mm-hmm.
We did also see Mr. Satan still wandering around doing stuff.
Mr. Satan, the last person on Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Gohan's father-in-law is still alive.
Too bad his future wife is not. Anyway, let's keep the happy, happy Troy Joy train rolling with Black Clover. Black Clover, Episode 6, The Black Bulls, in which we are introduced to the characters who some people said would make this better, but no.
No.
They did the exact opposite. Five more.
Like, that joke actually made me laugh when it was going on, because I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of funny, because they're so obviously not good people. You know, that was
this guy. Maybe he loves his sister, little sister, a little too much, but he's good people.
But he's good people.
Nope.
And then then he introduces the big boss, and it's like, wait, he's not good people? Like, that was the one moment where I'm like, yes, that was actually a fairly well-executed joke.
I do agree with you, though, Grex, that, like, you know, after episode after episode after episode of nonstop Asta yelling, I was kind of hoping he'd walk into that door and there'd be some ordinary people in there. But what did he walk into? A room full of people yelling. And they yelled for, like, the next 2 or 3 minutes.
At least one of them was Ian Sinclair yelling.
Yes.
The only bright spot.
But still, just like...
One of them had cupcakes, so that's cool too.
Just, like, they were all so grating out of the gate.
I know. Like, none of them were...
Like, this is another Naruto, but Naruto's secondary cast saved it a lot.
Yeah.
No chance here. These guys suck as bad, if not worse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the cupcake girl was just, she was okay.
She ate cupcakes and didn't say a goddamn word.
Right, that's why. But then, like, and then the big, like, guy who looks like Gluttony, he just sat there. But then, like, the girl...
And there's girl in underpants, because that's what she wears.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Like, that's her outfit. She isn't... You're meant to believe that panties. That's, like, a hangover.
Nope.
But no, that's just what she always wears, apparently.
Yeah, she just wears a bra and panties, and then she goes around getting drunk and apparently banging dudes.
There is also...
But it can't...
Dude who looks like a kid, but is apparently super strong and just, like, has a smile on his face all the fucking time.
Yeah. Yep. That's where it went too far. Like, it was, like, I was going up the ranks of, like, least annoying to most annoying. And it's, like, after you get past the girl with the underpants, then it just starts, like, escalating in annoyance. Every character just constantly yelling at each other. And
yeah.
And that thing in particular is just... Have I told you about how amazing my little sister is? I have a nosebleed. Here's a picture.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
And then they did the whole thing with the slowdown and the narrator talking. I'm like, no, you haven't earned that.
I can't even remember that.
The big finisher. Like,
oh, yeah, now I remember.
Yeah. I'm like, no, that was what, you know, they did when Usopp was doing something incredibly awesome recently. You can't do that. This is not as earned as that is.
Please explain in excruciating detail how Asta, instead of cutting the thing, whacks it.
Yes. Yeah. It was really unnecessary, not thematically, just, like, literally unnecessary to explain that if he just turns his blade sideways, he can reflect something. You didn't need a minute's worth of exposition to explain that. We get it.
Sometimes it just feels like the series sort of watches what other series do, and it's like, oh, that was a cool moment, let's do that. Not
I like what somebody in the thread said earlier.
Built up to.
A comic a kill was spat at. It was you, C. Kohler.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Oh. Well, we were talking about, like, somebody asked the question, which is more anime the anime, A Comic Got Kill or Black Clover? And I said, A Comic Got Kill is if an automated animated anime generator created an anime and set all the values to random. Created
they set
by,
all the values to trope.
Well, all the tropes to random, right. And Black Clover was created using an automated anime generator, and all the trope values were set to Naruto.
That sounds about
but
right.
But then you also increase the power factor by 100 so that the characters just constantly yell.
I just wish somebody would calm down somewhere.
Look, that's going to be Yami's thing.
I don't know. You think so?
I mean, doubt it.
He kept doing it in this episode where he was like, kid, shut up. You're talking too much. But he kept doing it.
And then there was
Asta honestly did start, like, mellowing out, the show could get a little more watchable. I will give it that.
Well, no, because now they introduced, like, 7 more Astas.
Well, I mean, they all need to mellow out.
Oh, and we're also going to get the absolute joy of being introduced to Tsundere Girl love interest next episode.
Yeah.
Oh, God, shoot me.
I don't know. We don't know anything about her. She might be tolerable. I don't know.
I saw. I saw a picture from a future episode subbed where she says, "I'm a royal. You're lucky I got out of bed."
Okay.
So, meh.
I mean, look. I guess my point is that, like a lot of people, we've been told that, like, oh yeah, the Black Bulls are fun. You know, Asta's annoying, but these guys will be more fun. But they Seda was in the thread, and he's just like, this is obnoxious.
It is.
These characters, they're just like, shut up. Maybe they'll mellow out, but this was a poor way to introduce these characters. Like, everything in this show, it just tries hard. It's trying too hard to be funny.
Hard, yeah. I mean, I will still say that, but he's good people joke. Like, that got a small smile out of me. That was properly executed and funny, but the rest of it was like...
The Ian Sinclair character, he wasn't that bad, but
if it wasn't Ian Sinclair, he would have been the worst.
I don't know. I mean, like, even his personality, like, he was an asshole, but then he kind of, like, lightened up. But why do you introduce your characters this way? It's like the guy who wrote this just thinks it's hilarious that characters just yell constantly.
My strategy for writing manga is to constantly yell while drawing.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't help but think the manga would be better if only because everyone's not constantly yelling at each other. Like, you can tone down the sound in your head.
Yeah, you don't hear it, yeah.
Only 46 episodes to go.
And also, they can drop the whole beginning thing now, because nobody cares that there was a Wizard King who defeated a giant three-eyed monster. No. Like, nobody cares.
No, you will hear fame power forever.
Aren't there like three or four different Wizard Kings right now?
There is one Wizard King right now.
I think it's, one, yeah.
All right, whatever.
Anyway, guys want to talk about JoJo?
Yes, please.
Continuing on, happy, happy Joy Joy time. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders, Episode 21, Judgment, Part 1, in which they go to an island which has definitely not Muhammad Abdul on it. It's his dad. Abdul.
Sure it is. It
looks exactly like him. And then the stand shows up that offers to bring back Abdul. I wonder how that will end.
Okay, you know what, guys? You're going to get a rare opportunity for somebody who doesn't know anything about JoJo to throw out a theory that is clearly wrong. I thought that what's going to happen is that dude is Abdul's dad on the island, and this judgment is going to bring back Abdul's corpse just like it did what's-his-face's sister, but then something will happen where they revive him and turn him from being a zombie. But clearly that's not going to happen because you guys are hinting that that is truly Abdul.
I haven't, seen this part, but seriously, I'm like, Abdul's not dead.
They're pretty into the idea that that is Abdul's dad. He has chickens named Michael Prince and something, I forgot.
Michael Prince and Lionel.
Oh, yeah, Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
More music references. I gotta say, this is kind of not a great stand fight.
Yeah.
I like this more than the baby thing. It's not so much that it's a fight, though. It's just that it's just like weirdness. It's like, oh, weird. You bring people back and getting your wishes. And I like, hail to you!
I liked Polnareff Land.
Oh, that was great. I mean, being Polnareff is suffering, so,
Oh, Polnareff.
Like, does he ever have a good day? Because I feel like every day of his life is the worst day of his life.
Ignorance is bliss.
I don't think he's depressed. I think he oh, shit! And then the next moment he's like, ha, 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 this is great.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's an idiot, but I does feel like every day of his life is worse than the one that came before it.
And so eventually it gets to the point where he's like, can you bring back my dead sister? And then the monkey's paw curls up a bit, and she's a flesh-eating zombie.
Who didn't see that coming?
Yeah, that was pretty obvious that she was going to be, a zombie or something, yeah.
Why are these birds eaten? What could possibly have caused this?
Yeah, that's the problem I have with Polnareff. It's just like, come on, dude.
There are two levels of stupid in Stardust Crusaders. Polnareff being attacked by an obvious stand and taking him 17 minutes to figure it out. Yeah. And everyone else not going immediately, oh, Polnareff is being attacked by a stand user the second Polnareff is out of their sight for more than a minute.
Yeah.
Hell, more than 30 seconds. If you haven't seen Polnareff in the last 30 seconds, find Polnareff and kill the stand user.
Yeah, find the stand. At least this time, Polnareff figured out right away that the genie was a stand. Like, he didn't are you a stand? He's like, no, you're a stand. I get it.
But no, then after the gold, he was like, I guess it is a genie.
Oh, did he? I forgot that.
Yeah, because then Judgment was like, I'm a stand, you idiot.
Oh, dang it. All right. I take it back then.
Polnareff!
Stands can do all kinds of magic things. Why wouldn't you think a stand could create money?
because
they can shrink things down to microscopic size. They can put you in an alternate reality. I mean,
I will say that Judgment's power is not kind of that. Anyway, speaking of giant idiots, shall we talk about Gundam?
Yes, please.
Mobile Suit Gundam, Local Man Chronicles, Episode 37, Battle for Crisei. In this episode, Local Man does it again.
How does he keep finding ways to ruin things multiple times in the same episode?
The best part is he ruined it in this episode in the exact same way he ruined it in the last episode.
And he did it three different times in this episode. He kept ruining things.
Yeah, it's like pretty great.
Like, every time he shows up, I'm like, oh, God, he's going to do it again. And then he does it again.
The reason there's no way he can be worse character is because everyone in the universe, in the actual in-universe of Gundam, thinks he's just as big of an idiot as we do.
Yeah.
I mean, like, his bodyguards, or the people that work for him, or anyone, or literally everyone who keeps saving his life, are the worst characters ever for letting him live. Just let him die and be free of his stupidity.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, it's definitely funny to watch him fuck up over and over.
At a certain point, I feel like it's going to get annoying as hell. It's going to be like, oh, everything's going okay, and Local Man ruins everything.
Look, it's going to be worse when he starts being on the winning team.
Oh, God. How is he going to be on the winning team? He's stupid.
Well, the show can do whatever it wants, so I'm assuming it just changes it. So suddenly he can succeed.
The second half of the show is going to be some shit, man. I'm pretty sure I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if it's more stuff like this, you know, like fighting the giant robots and, you know, cool plans and, you know, that sort of thing, I'm down for more of that. Because I feel like these last few episodes are a lot, like, it's a plot that's easy to understand, but it's interesting. You're compelled, like, they have to use their brains. They have to, I actually understand what's going on and why, and it's not convoluted in the slightest.
Hey, I do have a question,
though.
It's
a nice feeling.
Yes, and that's what's always been better about Iron-Blooded Orphans than the other Gundam show we watched.
Yeah, but
it just makes sense.
Season one was also like stupid convoluted. Like, we didn't know why they were fighting over Mars until this season.
Right. But I don't remember anything about Unicorn.
That was definitely worse.
Right.
It's about a version of the Space Constitution where John Hancock didn't literally write his name over the part of the Constitution that said, slavery's bad, don't do it.
Yeah. And like, by the way, why don't you just take a picture of that?
Literally the plot of Gundam Unicorn I just described to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you can only believe this constitution is real if you go to a broken space station and find it where anyone could find it. And by the way, I'm pretty sure pictures and video would probably exist of this thing being signed. But you know what? Let's forget
After
all that.
After literally being led on a big scavenger hunt, which started at the exact place you end at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Anyway, I do have a question, though, about Iron-Blooded Orphans. So I know that McGillis is working with Tekadin.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this other group that has the Julieta and Eok.
Yep.
They're not with Tekadin, right? They're still Gjallarhorn evil.
They're super not with Tekadin.
Yeah. Okay.
Because their whole thing is fuck McGillis.
But they're Gjallarhorn.
Yeah.
Still.
Also, okay. Gjallarhorn is not
like him.
Gjallarhorn is dumb.
Because they haven't killed Eok yet.
Yes, that and because Gjallarhorn, it's like, we're one united organization with a single common goal. Instead, it's just like, we're a bunch of feudal lords trying to kill each other in space.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
I mean, I like that better than what we had last season, you know? It's a lot simpler to understand.
We did get about 5 seconds of Vidar, and then he just took off.
Yep.
Yeah, his name is definitely Vidar and not that other dude.
Yeah.
That other dude.
I mean, we all know who the other guy is. I can't remember.
This scene was basically him showing up to yell, to blab at McGillis, and McGillis kind of just grimaces and doesn't say, "Hey, it's Galio."
Yeah. Yeah, and like, "Hey, I can totally understand your who you are based on your voice." Like, why didn't he say that?
I still can't
get it. The show is totally going to pull when he finally takes off the mask as a dramatic reveal.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be like,
oh my God.
That guy sounds just like Galio all this whole time. Why didn't I put it together?
I will say that I'm still flabbergasted by how dumb Eok is. I mean, like, everything he tries to do completely backfires on him.
The best part is that it doesn't even backfire on him, it backfires on everyone else.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with it.
It doesn't do what he wants it to do. Like, whenever he sets out to do something, he always winds up accomplishing the exact opposite. Like, he gets away with it. There's no ramification. Yeah. I mean, like, he wants to stop McGillis from getting an Order of the Seven Stars, and then gives McGillis the idea, oh, maybe I should do this thing you were trying to stop me from doing.
Now they're all trying to kill this thing first to get the Order of the Seven Stars.
Yeah.
It is weird to me that this thing is, like, kicking everyone's ass so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I know those were built to exterminate the human race and all that stuff, but, like...
It's badass.
You know, if those things existed, like, hundreds of years ago, you'd think, like, somebody would have maybe, like, tried to figure out where they were in case it would happen again.
Well, I mean, you know, a couple hundred years, you know, people forget stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like the future or anything when you can document everything.
Well, man, the Calamity War was some shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they went through, like, almost genocide. I can't really blame them for, you know, losing track of some stuff.
I'm going to say that was the only reason I could give it that makes sense is that, like, maybe a lot of records were lost in that time when the human civilization almost collapsed.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the only reason I'm letting this fly is because I'm like, all right, they almost underwent a genocide. They're obviously going to lose some information. Yeah. Maybe this thing probably flew under the radar as a result.
So, cause,
also,
like,
regarding...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No.
I was just going to say that, like, someone built the Gundams. Like, all that knowledge must have been lost because they just act like these things are, like, nobody can make a Gundam. And yet...
It's a Gundam!
I know. It's like, oh my God, this is the Gundam with the special name from hundreds of years ago. And I'm like, if you know all that and you know how to fix these things and all this other stuff, it's like, why don't you just build more Gundams?
They don't have Gundanium or whatever the hell they use. I have no idea.
Why do you think they're fighting over the hair gel mines of Uranus?
Because Orga needs his hair gel.
Everyone needs their hair gel.
He can't keep that blade on his head sharp without that hair gel.
Are you guys going to get the DLC for that Gundam game that's going to add Atra and Orga as voices to the game?
No.
The question is, who even has that game?
I don't know.
Apparently they're adding Burning Gundam and Master Asia, so, you know, that's going to be hype.
DeMarco, please show G Gundam. God damn it.
Please. It's an HD. Just move over vocals.
It'd make a good replacement for Outlaw Star.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, want to keep our happy joy time rolling and into the we forgot to talk about the fact that the Gundams can't fight mobile armor as well because they literally get too excited sexually. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Okay, yeah, we mentioned the moment where, for the like one of the only times ever that Mikazuki disobeyed an order, or well, not disobeyed, but like went against Orga's wishes.
Well, I mean, he's still doing it for Orga.
Yeah, but Orga's no, you're not doing this, and he's like, yeah, I am.
I mean, it basically, it's one of those things. It's like he's doing what he thinks is best for Orga. And meanwhile, Orga's just thinking of him.
Yeah, trying to protect him.
It's this weird thing where he doesn't really care about his own life at all. But Orga does. And he's like, no, I just care about what's best for you.
Pretty like, cool, though. Orga pretty cool way to end the episode. Gets that bloody eye, and then his Gundam eye starts glowing.
Also, what's his name? Dante. got a Gundam because you totally remember who Dante is. So, of course, he would get a Gundam.
Is that the thing where DTO was posting the...
He was the one... He's the one writing with that other kid.
Yeah.
And then he's super-duper excited about his giant, shining new...
Oh, yeah, he had a Gundam that can transform.
Yeah, he had one that turned into a howitzer or whatever.
And he was basically just... he was basically acting like he was in fucking Gurren Lagann.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't mind that too much. Again, like, cool. Gundams... Everybody gets a Gundam.
I got no problem with that.
There are finally Gundams in Gundam.
About time.
Maybe there should have been less Gundams in this Gundam show.
I don't know. I think this overall, this show's been pretty good, regardless of how many Gundams it's had. Sometimes we say that. We're like, oh, bring on the action, bring on the Gundams. But then you'll get episodes where it's just Gundams fighting in space, and you're like, eh, I don't really care.
You can't actually remember who's in what Gundam, and you're just like,
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is just so much better because, you know, it's strategic to a certain extent. It's not just maddening, you know, space combat where everyone's flying around everywhere, fighting everybody all at once.
Beams!
I will say that I'm definitely found Iron Blooded Orphans, like, easier to follow cast-wise. Like, I understand who each character is, or at least in the very least, what team they're on.
It's definitely a lot easier this season than it was last season.
It's pretty easy, because there's, like, three squads. There's the shirtless kids, the heroes. There's the asshole guys from Gjallarhorn, and then there's the other asshole guys from Gjallarhorn, but they work with the shirtless kids.
Yeah. I mean, because last season it was like there were like 12 different, you know, things, and you had to keep track of all that and the subgroups, and it was just way too complicated. I like that they simplified it. You know, I think it definitely helps my enjoyment.
Yeah, me too.
Well, let's keep that enjoyment train rolling into Hunter x Hunter. Hunter x Hunter, episode 80. The episode title is literally Evil and Terrible.
Yeah.
In this episode of Super Happy Child Gone goes off and has fun adventures. Murder.
There's a lot of murder in this episode.
A horrifying backstory for a character who literally has not shown up yet in the manga, and never will.
No, he showed up last episode for like 30 seconds. He was the guy in the black hood in the chair.
A character whose importance is teased and still hasn't happened 15 years later.
Yes, this is true. Just to be perfectly clear, because everyone in the thread was saying that, you're telling me that they spent nearly half an episode introducing the backstory to a character who is now gone from the show?
Pretty much.
Well, okay. It was an entire chapter in the manga, but he's going to show up one more time in this arc.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be one of those things where he's essentially being built up for later.
Okay.
It is basically the author saying, this is the final villain.
Yeah, he's more or less going to be the final boss, probably. If not the final boss.
All My Back and Dragon Quest.
Yes.
Weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically his back is doing better now, so, you know.
Dragon Quest it is.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was some depressing storytelling there.
Oh, yeah. And this guy's life gets worse.
And then, man.
Did he get eaten?
Yeah, no, he got eaten. He gets eaten by the queen.
So then how is he going to be the villain later?
You'll understand later.
Okay. Never mind.
It's a little bit of spoilers. I think most people have already sort of figured it out, you know, how the ants, you know, work eating the humans based on context clues so far. But, you know, it's going to be very blatant later on.
Okay.
So why did Togashi have to kill the two that I like?
Because that's what he does.
Welcome to Hunter x Hunter, motherfucker.
Yes.
You looked at the cast happy and smiling in that poster for the show, and you thought you were in for some happy, happy fun times, but you sat through York New City and you still expected happy, happy joy times.
And now you're at the Chimera Ant Arc, which is probably the I mean, even counting the like modern stuff, the new stuff that's coming out, this is easily the darkest part of the story.
This is not even this episode was not even close to the darkest shit you're going to see.
No, I mean this is just this is literally just setting the tone for later on.
I really liked Pockle and Ponzu. Like, yeah, I just no. They were cool characters. They were mm-hmm. like nice guys, which is so yeah. fucking like rare in this world.
Yeah.
They deserved. I know, exactly. It's so obvious, but at the same time, it's frustrating because I really, if there was anyone I wanted to escape from this, it would have been them.
Unfortunately for Pockle, he's not dead yet.
Not yet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he got captured. Yeah.
Really, unfortunately for Pockle.
Yeah.
Ponzu got it easy.
Well, I mean, she was brutally murdered and then eaten.
Oh, I know.
Hey, man, she was probably dead after that first shot.
Well, yeah.
I hope so.
But it's basically they died to show you that, nobody's safe here, even the characters you might like. Yeah.
In that case, it was a good choice because those are likable characters. But, like,
yeah. I know, it's dark.
Leave them alive.
And it sort of makes you wonder, like, who's next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder who could possibly be next.
No, stick dinner, no!
Apparently it's not going to be stick dinner because they literally got sent out of this arc.
Yeah.
So
you keep saying that, but I thought he was still around.
No. So now it's just Gon and Killua because those other guys that were with them, he was like, shit, real bad, you guys go back out of the NGL.
Oh, that's and right, yes, he sent them away, yeah.
Yeah, okay. He sent them off to go get the other hunters and, bring lots of backup.
Right. So those guys' lives were spared.
At least maybe. They still got to make it out.
Oh, stick dinner. We hardly knew ye.
I mean, there's still an opportunity for him to be eaten, He's still got to make it back out the NGL.
Also, apparently the NGL isn't even North Korea. It's literally just bison land.
It really is. It turns into North Korea later, but right now it's just bison land.
And they have bison dollars as their currency.
Yes.
Bison dollars, of course, are only made with all natural ingredients.
Cocaine.
Bison dollars.
Each bison dollar is worth 5 UK pounds.
Or at least they will be after I've kidnapped their queen. Anyway, what else was in this episode?
Let's see. We saw what's his name? The ant guy we like?
Colt.
Yeah, Colt. Like one of the kids sort of like his personality snuck through for a moment.
Oh yeah. He was like, "I've got to protect Reyna." What?
Wait, who? It's like, "Who's Reyna? I didn't say Reyna." Like his personality snuck through for a second. So like, apparently he's still in there.
Well,
I mean, it basically makes
what do they call that metamorphosis thing?
It's from Assassin's Creed. They call that genetic memories.
Yeah.
No. I meant there's that word.
Going to get the animus and go assassinate some people.
They have Hunter uses for how
phagogenesis.
Phagogenesis. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
apparently,
reason you couldn't remember is because you eliminated it from your mind.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things, like, it makes you wonder, like, okay, so someone just ate, like, the most evil dude in the world. What the hell's he going to be like when he comes out?
You're trying not to hint, but we get it. We know what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, they basically said, in this episode that the, people they eat are deep down in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder who the penguin was, was he like some scholar?
Man, the Hunterpedia article for Gyro is pretty sparse.
Well, there's not a lot to go on. There's basically this and one more episode he features in.
Yep. Anyway, anything else from this episode?
Gon, Kite, and Killua are all headed straight for the ants.
Straight for Murder Town.
Yep, they're going right to Gyro's hangout, which was,
The arc will be over soon, because here come our heroes.
Yep, they're going right into Murder Capital USA. Well, I mean, technically, if they can find the Ant Queen before, you know, the king gets born, they might be okay.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see, won't we?
Yeah, we know yes, that won't happen. Will. It's in the opening. They show him. I don't have to see the show to know that that will happen. Because they put it in the opening that there's a king.
Oh, man, oh. He's going to be some shit.
Yeah. I even know what he looks like. He's the there's first thing you things. See when the opening begins.
He's yes. a Frieza-looking dude with a turtle hat.
Yeah.
I thought he looked more like Cell.
Cell-looking dude with a turtle hat. Anyway, shall we finally talk about Lupin the Third?
Yes.
Lupin the Third, Part 4, Episode 26, World Dissection, Part 2. In this episode, that one Inception. Episode of Looney Tunes.
I thought it was Inception.
No, it's that one episode, both.
It's together. It's Duck-a-Muck and Inception.
Yeah.
Yep.
I liked
Duck-a-Muck.
That was
pretty Duck-a-Muck, though.
Yeah, it was.
And then the memories were a ring, and some Lupin bullshit happens.
There's always some Lupin bullshit.
What can't Lupin do? He can outsmart Leonardo da Vinci.
He can't escape from Pops. He can't keep Pops away from him. Pops keeps finding him. Even in their dreams.
Lupin is constantly aware and knows in great detail what clones can and cannot do and how long they live. How does he know this?
You're about because to cough up blood right now.
There you go.
Haha, I'm Lupin the Third.
He's a phantom thief, that's how he knows. I'm pretty sure he's fucked.
Episode, Rebecca tears up the marriage certificate because Rebecca will no longer be appearing in this show.
No, yeah. She will not.
Gosh, I'm going to cross every finger and toe that she does at least show up in the next series.
Nope.
I mean, her story arc is done.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the episode, though, at hand... This was definitely by far the most persona of things other than persona.
That's putting it mildly.
They literally go into Rebecca's palace
yep.
to steal her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Lupin does. Arsene Lupin.
Yep.
And they talk about personas, literally, the word, and everything. Like, it's all there. They were phantom yep. thieves. It's just straight up persona.
The only way it could have been more persona is if they had stands.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't.
No, that's called JoJo.
I was sort of happy, like, oh, at the end of the episode, Lupin's like, he's victorious. Then Pops shows up. He's like, I'm going to get you, Lupin. I'm like, really, right now? You just saved all of Italy, you crazy man. But no, Pops will not be stopped for anything.
I liked the final shot where everyone's like disappearing onto the train.
Oh, mm-hmm. That was so stylish.
That yeah. was cool.
It's just like they're standing there and then the train goes by and then they're gone. Like everyone does it, not just Goemon, who could totally just jump on a train if he wanted to.
I'm sure Fujiko sexied her way onto the train. Jigen shot at it. And then we cut to Lupin being dragged by the train by his tie.
Fujiko just wore a mask that made her look like a train.
The things that girl can do with a silicone mask, man.
So do we want to review this show as a whole now?
I'll say a few things. I mean, like, just kind of a recap of what we've always been saying. Like, it's a very good show, but it's not great.
Yeah. I would say it's a okay show.
Yeah, it's a fine show. But it isn't something that is, like, so good that you're going to want to rewatch it.
Right.
You're going to have watched it and thought, hey, that was all right. And that's
like
about
it. Like, it's popcorn tier.
Yeah.
I think is fair to say. You know, like, when we put it on the ranking, I think it should go in, you know, like that popcorn tier of shows.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those shows that's like, The Block was good for having aired it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't, like, it wasn't amazing, but, like, we would, when it would come on, we're like, yeah, we're going to watch Lupin, all right.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good thing that when it was on, it was just, it was never so good. Like, it was never like a must-see TV thing.
I mean, I will say I really, really, really liked the episode where Pops finally caught Lupin and then didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah. And I certainly tuned in.
That was the best episode of the show.
That was hilarious.
My favorites were the Rebecca episodes, and she was my favorite thing about the whole series. Like, just mm-hmm. She was just amazing. Always entertaining to watch her riff off of the whole gang and do her thing. And I like Nyx. I like Nyx as a character. He was fun. He was 007. Yeah, no,
he was good.
Like, crazy, insane sometimes.
Yeah. No, he was a badass.
I liked it. Again, it's just like I have all these positive memories of the show, but it's not like something I would like go watch again.
Yeah.
And so we have our show ranking up right now because it's time to rank Lupin the Third Part 4. And mm-hmm. Oh God, I have to spell out the entire list again. Here we go.
Copy paste. Oh, right. We got to say it.
Mm-hmm. We got to say it.
Have fun.
All right. Here we go. Oh, no. Number 1, Cowboy Bebop. Number 2, Fooly Cooly. Number 3, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Number 4, Space Dandy. Number 5, One Punch Man. Number 6, Gurren Lagann. Number 7, One Piece. Number 8, Hunter x Hunter. Number 9, Black Lagoon. Number 10, JoJo Part 2, Battle Tendency. Number 11, Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. Number 12, Samurai Jack. Number 13, Samurai Jack Season 5. Number 14, JoJo Part 1, Phantom Blood. Number 15, Soul Eater. Number 16, Samurai Champloo. Number 17, The Big O. Number 18, Symbionic Titan. Number 19, Inuyasha. Number 20, Attack on Titan. Number 21, Eureka 7. Number 22, Hellsing Ultimate. Number 23, Dragon Ball Z Kai. Number 24, Kill la Kill. Number 25, Mobile Suit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans. Number 26, Naruto. Number 27, Star Wars The Clone Wars. Number 28, Michiko and Hachin. Number 29, Dead Man Wonderland. Number 30, Kashrin Sins. Number 31, Bleach. Isn't it weird how those first three shows just ended up right next to each other?
They really did. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Number 32, IGPX. Number 33, Parasite. Number 34, Blue Exorcist. Number 35, Thundercats. 2011. Number 36, Inuyasha, The Final Act. Number 37, Sword Art Online. Number 38, Samurai 7. Number 39, Naruto Shippuden. Number 40, Dimension W. Number 41, Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn. Number 42, Beware the Batman. Number 43, Akame ga Kill. Number 44, Tenchi Muyo GXP. And last and certainly goddamn least, number 45, Tokyo Ghoul. So if I had to rank this show, I would put it right above Dead Man Wonderland and below Michiko and Hachin.
I kind of almost would put it above Clone Wars, personally.
I mean, I feel like, okay, let's say the popcorn tier sort of starts at Inuyasha and ends at Michiko and Hachin, almost.
I mean, would that... Michiko and Hachin is not a popcorn show.
Yeah, no, it's not.
The popcorn show tier goes... Let's say it goes... Fuck.
The Star Wars?
It's a really rough tier list. Let's say it ends at least at Blue Exorcist.
Oh, that's really far down.
Hey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, that works. I mean, I think no matter what, it goes somewhere in that sort of stretch of, you know, shows that are okay but not great.
You know, I do think it's better than Michiko and Hachin.
Yeah.
And I do think it. I can see it above Clone Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, Clone Wars had some really bad episodes, though. Like, you got to remember, they didn't show the Jar Jar ones specifically because they were just so bad.
Is it above Naruto?
I don't know. I'm actually kind of willing to get it below Naruto because I think people are, there are other people think, who love Naruto a lot more.
Yeah. I think it's arguable there, if only because of that, you know, like 2 or 3 year stretch of filler at the end of Naruto.
I think the thing that brings it down is that Lupin, or maybe you could give it above Naruto because just because of cast prestige, Lupin prestige.
Yeah, but Naruto has a good cast for the most part.
And cast I'm not even a big fan. Characters.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. They're fine. I don't know. I think Naruto I don't know. I think I remember more from Naruto than I do from Lupin, and we just watched Lupin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lupin was a show where every week we came in here and said, "Yeah, Lupin." That was good.
Yeah,
next didn't show. Really...
Yeah,
I think Naruto just has too much. I don't know what prestige or what
too
the
much
word
hype.
Is.
I think the difference between the two is Naruto has higher highs. Like Lupin is more or less static.
Yeah.
In terms of quality, while Naruto. It spikes up a lot, but it also spikes really far down. So I think, yeah,
I
between
think
Naruto
has
and
more
Clone
good
Wars.
Than Lupin.
I agree, and I'm still struggling with Star Wars. I personally enjoyed Lupin much more than I did Michiko and Hachin. Although Michiko and Hachin had its moments,
Clone Wars honestly also probably has more good than Lupin.
I don't know about that. I remember more from Lupin than I do Clone Wars. Like, I barely remember Clone Wars at all.
Mm. I barely remember either show, and I didn't really
kinda
watch
go either
Clone
way
Wars.
On that. I definitely enjoyed Lupin more than, like, Dead Man Wonderland and Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
So it's either so it's either above or below Clone Wars.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Almost kind of directly in the center of our list, almost.
Yeah, which I mean
believe,
is fair.
I believe, ironically, Kai is the closest thing to dead center.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I'm surprised.
Yeah,
Kai is, honestly.
No, it will be dead center after we put this in.
No, yeah. It is dead center right now because...
Oh, you're right, because it's odd number.
23 of 45.
Yep. Dragon Ball Z Kai, the most middle... Like that screen of Nappa. I'm a mid-tier warrior. Dragon Ball Z Kai, the most mid-tier thing of all time.
You know what? I'm going to vote to put it above the Clone Wars. I think it was a better produced show and definitely had better characters than Clone Wars.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, when you have to take out episodes from the show because they were so bad, I think it's, you know, I'm going to go with that.
Yep. Alrighty then.
By the way, Kill la Kill is way too low on this list, but I know we agreed on that. Way too low, in my opinion.
It's good exactly where it is.
I think that's a fair spot.
So, Lupin the Third, Part 4, is number 27 in our list, below Naruto at number 26, and above Star Wars The Clone Wars at number 28.
Cool.
Seems fair.
I think we're going to have to readjust Iron-Blooded Orphans when we finish season.
When it ends, we will come back to its ranking. And we will see if it goes up or down. Or not
I think if this season keeps on the track it's on, it's going to shoot up a couple of ranks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, this is a lot better than it was last season.
I'm going to say... You may not think it's on a wildly different track right now, but it will be.
Mm, cool. That's good news.
I kind of like the track it's on now.
Tokyo Ghoul has to stay at the bottom.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere.
I'm sorry. Some people thought it was a hot take, but no, fuck that show.
That is not a hot take. That is a fair take.
I refuse to believe that is a hot take.
It's not. I think we're going to have to talk about...
From now on, now that we're doing like instant rankings after a show ends, everything is a hot take.
I'll tell you what, man. When we listen to those clips from that show, like the one of him being tortured, like I just immediately was like, oh yeah, this is bad.
Yeah,
the only one worse was the Stardust Crusaders one because that was like, oh god,
what were they thinking?
This is even more Sinai worthy without the visuals make it better. The visuals
that's sad.
The visuals give you more needed context.
Yeah. I will say I'm sort of interested to see where SAO is going to wind up after we get the next season.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting, huh?
Because, I mean, it's either going to stay where it is or it's going to drop down.
I will say that right now, I almost feel like Inuyasha, the final act, is a bit too high.
I don't know.
I feel like we ended up giving it more credit to have for having the characters from Inuyasha than it deserves, and maybe it should actually be, like, below Samurai 7.
We debated for hours over this. I'm pretty sure this is where we're probably pretty happy with what we're
Someone came up on this on the Google Sheet as Anonymous Nyan Cat.
Yeah. It's not me.
Not me.
When are you guys?
Oh no, that's me.
Okay,
that's me.
Good job, Anonymous Nyan Cat.
Yeah.
Nyan Cat was a thing.
Yeah.
God.
Honestly, I think Inuyasha's like the final act's main problem was simply that it was paced insanely. Like they'd go through entire volumes in like one episode.
That almost makes it like a perfect partner to Dimension W.
Yeah.
I'd still say it goes above Shippuden because it never gets that bad. Like it actually slows down near the end and takes the time to do it right.
Anyway, we're not doing that today. We're doing that in like 4 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know what? We're doing that in 4.5 years.
Oh. Wait, when did we do this?
We did it last summer.
Oh, shit. Okay. So,
2017 was a year, man.
That was a long-ass year.
And this year was just 2017 on speed.
You know, I could have sworn we did this in 2016.
No, we did it for the 5-year anniversary.
You're right.
I know that the rundown people, the showdown people did it, that did theirs in 2016.
Mm. All right.
And then did another update last year.
Mm.
Anyway. So yeah, Lupin the Third, a bottom half show.
But at the top of the bottom half.
Yeah, I mean, it's popcorn tier.
When I look at it, we have shown a lot more good shows than bad.
I mean, I still like it better than some of the shows that are higher up, if only because it never gets, you know, objectively horrible. Like, it doesn't have, you know, sort of like the Soul Eater horrible ending.
Yeah, Soul Eater's only bad for, like, a few episodes, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, the last 5 or 6 are, like, objectively, like, what the hell were
and
you thinking,
morons? And that's a long one,
morons?
Too, because that's kind of, like, 40 episodes or 30 episodes or something like that, so...
Yeah,
the damn good series.
So
up until that point. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Back to the block. Naruto Shippuden was a thing. I didn't watch it.
What the hell was it?
I'm not even going to bother professionally introducing Naruto
Just
Shippuden.
Give me the name and I'll try to remember a thing.
Gutsy Master and Student, the training.
Let's skip it.
I don't even remember it. Sorry.
Nope. Jiraiya was there.
Okay, yes, Jiraiya was there. That's all I remember.
Was that one dude, that one kid's dad was like, "This won't stop me." Like super comically slammed into the wall by tentacles.
And somebody in the thread was commenting again about how could Naruto not realize that Hokage was his dad when he looks exactly like him.
Yeah. I mean, he's just stupid though. You got to remember that.
So, let's talk about Outlaw Star. Outlaw Star, episode 18, The Strongest Woman in the Universe. In this episode, Fred Lowe just won't come out and say he's gay, so he tries to hire Jean to defeat Ronda Rousey, or Chris, I guess it's Chris Cyborg now.
Whatever.
And
I mean, he just really got to be honest with himself.
And then Jean dresses up as Jenny.
Yeah.
Jean
it's awkward.
And then Aisha's in arrest, and then Aisha, like, stuffs a girl in a locker, and that girl dies when the building burns down because...
No!
God, I forgot about that.
She got out. Somebody helped her.
Yeah, the fire marshal has checked all the lockers because people are totally in the lockers. She totally didn't die.
I actually forgot about the part where the place burned down.
And there was a really racist ban on Kataro joining the tournament, well, and then the end of the tournament happens, and you're like, yep,
that's
that makes sense.
You know, I agree that is wrong.
Look, let's just say that's going to happen racist, every single time.
Yeah, you need leave. Yeah. You need to have, like, weight classes.
Yeah,
this stuff.
I mean, you know? you just got to have the class for just the Kataro guys.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're just going to go, and you have to have them fight somewhere where nobody's around. Like, put them in a desert or something.
Yeah.
And just
like,
have them go
nuts.
Like,
I don't blame them. I mean, obviously a Kataro can win.
Yeah, the problem is when they wind up burning the whole place down and killing everybody when they get too excited.
Yeah. But Aisha can control it. She's awesome. And she was great this episode, again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so great about her character. People don't get it, man. It's like, she's just like the audience being like, this is awesome! Go ahead.
Really into dressing up as Jean as Jenny.
I don't know why they went there.
Because it was the 90s!
I mean, yep. I guess it's the whole point is the joke of it, but like, feels like they could have hired someone or something. I don't know.
They probably, I mean, why didn't they not just think, oh, we'll dress Aisha up? You know, because they were going to sneak Jean in. I'm like, well, yeah. Man, why not just sneak Aisha in?
It would have been more to the rules, I think, than having, like, a guy fight a girl. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
that girl was pretty badass. She could have probably, I think she kicked Jean's ass, right?
Yep.
Yeah, no, she beasted him.
Yeah.
Someone just posted a Ponzu gif in the thread, and now you're sad, Cole.
No.
It's a gif where she dies.
She wishes she died that easy.
Yep. No, she got... No. Pockle does. Pockle wishes he died that easy. Anyway, nope. It seems like they're finally leaving Heifong.
Oh, yeah. This is like... This episode ended with like, okay, now the story is beginning.
It's almost over.
Penultimate episode. The story finally begins.
I mean, it sort of feels like this should have been like a 12 episodes, you know, long thing, but then they're like, no, it's got to be like 30 or whatever.
Well, this is all anime back in the day was 24 episodes. I mean, they always are that way.
I mean, it was basically like, it's a crazy space adventure that takes place entirely on Space Chinatown.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where I'm like, if they'd cut the episode count in half, it'd probably be better.
The synopsis for the entire series is, Gene Starwind and his crazy crew go in search of the galactic ley line after just episode 18.
The rest of the time, for like, there's like six episodes they just spend in one place.
Because remember, it was like, hey, it's the beginning, here's Fred Lowe. They're still talking to Fred Lowe in person. Fred Lowe is not gallivanting around the galaxy with them.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gotten out of the starting town.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that really happened. I mean, they just wrestled we forgot to mention that there was another Kataro. Well, no, she was not a Kataro.
She was a werewolf.
She was just a straight up werewolf woman who worked for the whatever, the bad guys.
Also, apparently the Kataro are wolf people and not cat people.
I thought they were tiger people.
No, that was a wolf.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No, she was a werewolf. Aisha was a tiger.
Aisha was fighting was not a Kataro. She was a wolf. Like, she was a werewolf. The Kataros are cats.
It's complicated.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aisha's super did not look very cat-like.
It looked like a tiger. It had the, you know, stripes and whatnot.
I agree. It doesn't look quite like what we think of, but apparently it's a cat. But the other one, the one with the weird eyeballs or the glasses or whatever, that girl, like, she was like, I thought for sure that she was a Kataro, but then they just make a big deal about the fact that she's not.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, why do that? Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, she's like a werewolf or something.
Yeah,
I feel like they wanted to do like another season of this or something, but then it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of apparently part of this shared universe type thing where there's like two other shows that are sort of in the same universe but don't feature the same characters, but it probably never took off.
It's weird. By the way, I'm looking up on a wiki just to confirm it. Yeah, it's that whatever that woman was, she was a werewolf.
It's just weird.
It was just like out of the blue, there's werewolves in this show.
Yeah.
They technically call Aisha's other form a beast form. They don't say cat. They say beast.
Well, I mean, she's a tiger. Come on.
Kind of. Yeah, she's got the stripes and everything.
Anyway, anything else about Toonami? Everything was happy cookies and flowers.
Yep.
Wish they was pretty dark. Title be here. We're good people.
We're good people. I like it.
Do it.
Did I put a picture of the black bulls or whatever? We're good people.
Yep.
These good people.
Except the guy who's not.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway,
well, there's two guys that aren't good people.
That'll do it for episode 88 of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thank you, B-dubs.
Okay.
Thank you, C. Kohler.
No problem.
We'll see you guys next week for episode number 89. Good night, everyone.
Yay. Later.